Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album, is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
Hey, why don't you stay standing just for a moment? Oh, just for a moment. Hey, I was just so thankful in that moment for the family of God. Who maybe doesn't have family right near you in Sydney or right here, you know, around about you? Aren't you so thankful for the family of God and what it creates for you and your household and your children? And in that moment, I felt I'd like to just take a moment this morning and pray for those of you. I'm talking about the fruit of God this morning in our life. And I want to pray this morning for those of you who are believing for a miracle. You're believing to hold your own baby. Maybe it's a grandbaby that you're believing for. Maybe it's a friend that you hold dear to your heart. Can we just pray this morning, church, as a family, and pray that God, the God of fruitfulness, will bring a great harvest into people's lives. So this morning, Lord, we thank you for your gift of life. And Lord, this morning we uphold dear loved ones to you. Maybe even those of you here this morning. And we thank you, God, that you alone are the miracle worker. Father, we thank you that you would lead people into life. Whatever that might look like, we thank you, God, that you would raise up beautiful children in our midst, Lord. And Lord, I honour even those here this morning, mothers and fathers who may not have their own children, but Lord, this morning, they here they are, having raised kids in the house of the Lord, spiritual children, nurtured them into fruition, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you bring life wherever you go, Lord. So we glorify your name this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that your word is going to come. It's going to bring life within us, Lord. We thank you, even those here this morning who might be hearing your word for the first time. God, we thank you that you would do us good this morning and we would know you more closely. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. Yeah, praise Him. Why don't you hug someone, love someone on your way down? If you found yourself sitting alone for whatever reason this morning, why don't you shuffle up next to someone? They will not mind. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Can we thank Dave and the team and the smiling car park welcomers standing out there in the cold this morning? I tell you, it was wonderful to have Scott and Sue here this morning. Lovely having you back all the way from around the bends, Avalon. It's actually Avalon's third birthday this morning. Can we shout out to them? We love you. Well done, Av. Amazing. They are fruitful. Everywhere's fruitful, actually. 11 locations. Can you believe it? How did that happen? And from what I'm hearing, they're Shelby Moore, I'm sure. None that I know of just yet, but I'm sure they won't be long. We truly are in a fruitful place, and I'm so thankful to Pastor Phil and Chris for just inching us out of the boat all the time and wanting to expand our horizons in every direction. So we honour them this morning. Hey, we're going to enjoy the word this morning. Hopefully you are going to enjoy the word this morning. But I tell you what, Katie Haldane ministered this word last night. Can we thank her? She normally is up at Avalon and has come here this morning. She preached last night and is also preaching again tonight. She is the brains trust behind Trash Your Bible, an incredible program, inspiration for reading the word of God and getting it in your life. So we love you, Katie, and all you do for our students and church, and you're a wonderful gal to work with. Actually, we got to work together quite closely over the years. Anyway, love you. And hey, so this morning, last week we kicked off a series on purpose. And the truth that unless we're growing on purpose, we're probably not growing at all. Once Christ finds us, or we connect our lives with Him, we begin an amazing journey, but it's just the beginning of a life that He wants us to grow in. He doesn't come to our doorstep and give us everything we need all wrapped up perfectly and we just put it on or we use it. He begins to grow things in our life that are going to take us from strength to strength. A few months ago, we moved house and I remember Jimmy calling me. He'd driven past our new house, around the bends, about 15 minutes away from our new house, parked in front of our old house and thought, something's just not right. And he calls me and said, I've driven to our old house. You ever done that before? It's been so in the groove that you're not even thinking about the decisions you're making. You're just ending up going on the wrong track, doing the wrong thing because you're just in a groove of maybe how you used to be. God interrupts that. He wants to change the way in which we have lived normal lives and begin to interrupt some things to begin to change the course of our future. I was looking at these kids here before thinking, the fruit of my life, which we're going to get to soon, I don't just enjoy. People around me enjoy the fruit that God begins to grow in my life. And I want to live to breed God fruits, not just the fruits that maybe I used to have. Let's pick up here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, for his divine power has bestowed upon us, upon me, absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. This is how it comes, through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He's promising me a fruitful, dynamic, whole, complete, life-filled life. But the catch is, I have to remain connected to him. It's only through my connection with Christ that I begin to develop these amazing fruits that he wants my life to have. John 15 verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Christ talking. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Have you ever reminded yourself of that? That's right. Apart from Christ, I can bear the best fruit. I can try and attempt to bear the best fruit. But apart from Christ, the fruit isn't perfect. Only the perfect fruit comes from the perfect vine, comes from the perfect connection with Christ. I have to remain connected to Christ. Christ and I are a growing bond. You know, it's right for me, it's right for you to expect that the longer you live in Christ, the greater we should reflect him. It's also right for me to expect that if my thoughts or my actions begin to disconnect from the ways of Christ, it's only right for me to think some things are going to begin to rot. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe adrift in your own life. It's probably easier to identify in someone else's life. Don't jump on them straight away. Give it time, grace, pray. But we're the same. We can drift sometimes in our thinking, just a little outside the vine. And that's where the beautiful Holy Spirit comes to remind us, you can do nothing or bear no great fruit apart from me. Stay connected to Christ. As a kid, we didn't have a lot, but what we seemed to have a lot of was chocos. Who knows the choco fruit? Oh, why are they created? I lost half of the chapel this morning, actually. I think there was a lot of love in the room for the choco fruit. But we, for whatever watching, actually my mum is watching, love you, Mum. We, for whatever reason, used to get bags of chocos from people. Just wanted to bless you. Just thought this would help. We had sliced chocos, boiled chocos, baked chocos. My mum used to mash chocos and hide them in the mashed potato just to fill it out. They're like the ultimate sham fruit, you know, masquerading as whatever they're put with. But you know, there is no fruit that God will grow on my life that I won't love. There is not one fruit that God wants to grow within me that I am going to be disappointed with, that I won't have use for, that I won't have a purpose for. Every single piece of fruit that he has planned to grow in my life has a great purpose. And it's not just for my life, but for those watching around me. We're going to land shortly in Matthew 13. If you want to turn there, but before we land there this morning in the parable of the sower, which is a beautiful story, let me read this scripture to you. And this is talking about the fruit of our life and the difference between the fruit that comes from worldliness, the type of fruit that is born out of a connection that's not with Christ, the type of fruit we bear when we're left to our own devices, and the type of fruit that God wants to bring about in us, and they're completely contrary. Quite contrary, actually. It's quite a full-on passage. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. Have you ever felt that? Opposition. The wanting to do the God way and the desire maybe not to. They keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Thank you, Jesus. Now the works of the flesh, here they are, you ready? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Lord Jesus, save us. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, enviousness, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Run, run, run from these things. But here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of God is completely contrary to the type of fruit that without His good measure, we would lean towards. You know, when I first, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm so thankful for that. But when I really first decided in my own heart, this was exactly the type of life I was going to commit my life to. I remember one of the first things, actually it's almost in hindsight, I can see what God initially began to do in my life. And I think the first thing He began to do in my life was to show me a tree of unforgiveness that I had planted and let grow in my life. The longer I began to walk with Him, at a young age, I began to see some of the fruit of that tree, which is not great fruit, and began to see the type of energy it took to bear such horrible, hate-filled fruit. And I feel like what the Lord did in those first years of my life was give me a seed of forgiveness. It was a seed of Christ. It was a seed I didn't have the power to find. And it was a seed, in fact, I probably wasn't even looking for, to be honest, until I began to read the scriptures about releasing forgiveness to people, knowing that in doing that, I would receive the freedom and the forgiveness that only Christ could give me. Actually, I bought a seed this morning. No, I lie. It's actually an almond. It's all I could find. You probably wouldn't have been able to tell. There we go. It's an almond. Felt like He placed a seed in my life and began to grow something. When Christ enters our life, He doesn't just deliver to us things that we're going to need for the day at the doorstep. Who signed up to HelloFresh in the last few months? I wish He did. I wish whatever I needed for the day arrived at my door at 6 a.m. and I could go down my stairs before the children woke up and I could get all the grace, all the patience, all the measure that I would need for the day. But He doesn't do that. He doesn't deliver the complete fruit in a box, perfectly prepared. He takes me by the hand, takes me into the garden of my life and says, we're going to grow something. We're going to grow something together and it's going to take some time. Are you ready for it? It's going to take time. I wish in the same measure as Him growing something, He could cut things away straight away. Now He does do that. There's certainly been times in my life where I have been delivered from things that have kept a hold of my heart. But I tell you what, some of the ways of God are slow. And they're healing like a balm, like an ointment. So at the same time I've got this tree of forgiveness growing, He's slowly cutting away at this ugly grown tree of unforgiveness. I wish they could happen simultaneously. Can we throw this picture on the screen? Have you ever gone through your life and thought I dealt with that. I thought I had totally dealt with that situation in my life or my childhood or my early family or my workplace scenario or the way I responded. Have you ever felt like that? And thought, oh my goodness, look what I just did. Look how I reacted. And you see the image of something that was old, that was meant to be totally gone, but there it is again. Can I encourage you that the Lord is not shocked? He has no preconceived ideas about us that we might. His timing is perfect. His ways are perfect. His methods are perfect. And he's going to lead you. Yeah, come on, why don't you thank him this morning? He's going to lead you into fruitful days. We just need to stay responsive to the Holy Spirit so that we know what it is he's working on. He's always working on something. Always. Wouldn't it be a beautiful prayer to say, Lord, what is it right now that you are working on in my heart? I want to be a part of it. I want to completely surrender to you. So we're going to come across to somewhere. Where did I say we were going? Matthew 13. My life does its best to bear good fruit, but only God and his perfect ability has the power to do so. I need to stay walking in the Holy Spirit. It's good to encourage yourself that God has begun something in you. Maybe it's even in a loved one around you, and he's not finished. Have you ever maybe been disappointed thinking, God, I thought you had begun something restorative or something that you were going to complete, but I'm still not quite there. Or they, the person I'm loving and trying to pray for and believe for, maybe aren't quite there yet. He's not finished. Philippians 1:6 says, I pray with great faith for you, for I am fully convinced the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're never quite going to be there until the end days, right? Until we meet Jesus face to face. He's just perfecting a work in us and those we love. So here we go. We made it. Are you ready? Matthew 13. This is a passage in the scriptures where Christ, Jesus, is walking on the earth back in the day, and he's addressing a crowd of people who were following him. People were always following him. They longed to hear what he had to say, and still crowds are following him. Still to this day, many, even today, Sunday, all across the globe, people are glorifying the name of Jesus because he has something worthwhile to say, and it's far beyond our wisdom. And so this passage in Matthew 13 is a story that he's telling those who are following him about a farmer. I don't do a lot of farming, but I do understand this story. And he's talking about the type of receiving that people have to the word. The seed of God, the word of God is perfect. There's nothing wrong with this. It's faultless. The fault comes from the receiving. This is perfect. God's word is perfect. His ways are perfect. But how, Lord, can I best receive all you have for me? Because I want to grow on purpose. I want to continue growing in you. And so let's pick this up in our verse 1-9. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. I like to do that as many mornings as I can. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Sounds like my garden. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed, this is what we want. Other seed fell on good soil and produced 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The insufficiencies are in my hearing. So Lord, how can I hear? What is it you want to do in my life? I'm ready to hear. I want to hear. I don't want to be those three soils. I want to be the good soil. So we're going to just draw three thoughts out of this morning. In this first scripture in verse 4, as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. Have you ever had a hard place in your life that no one can talk to you about because you are hard in that area of your life? No one. Well, that's just me. I think these areas in our life are probably the most obvious to everyone around us, potentially. The areas of life that maybe we've always done it this way. I've always done this way. I've always walked this path. It's a hard path. I've always done this, Lord. I don't know how I could possibly change. This is the path that I have always grown to be. This is who I am, Lord. Throw the seed and let's do our best. But here comes, oh, I heard you, Davo. My Uncle Davo, I appreciate that. It's not a funny point, though. It wasn't meant to be funny. I love you. Hard areas of our life sometimes take some maturity for us to hear what God might want to say to us. He's very gentle in the way he leads us, but comes a day he needs to deal with issues that are hard. My prayer is that we, as people, as families, as individuals, as a church, would always be prepared to say, Lord, where is the hard place in my heart? I will do whatever it is you want me to do. The scripture said this is the easiest place for the enemy to come and snatch away what God would long to do in your heart. It's the quickest entry. It's the quickest door in. So would you agree this morning that whatever the Lord might want to speak to us about, we would say, whatever it is, Lord, I will respond and remove any hardness of heart. He doesn't always deal with us in that way. That's a fatherly type, come on, let's get corrected in this area. Let's remove the error and get some truth. One of the best questions I think you can ask someone you love, maybe, or a connect leader, or someone who you've done a journey with, even a friend. I think one of the greatest questions you could ask, if maybe you're not sure, or maybe you feel like God might be talking to you about something, is, hey, do you think there could be an area of my life that God might want to work on? You've got to be prepared for the answer, don't you? Watch out, permission. We shouldn't go around telling people without invitation, you know what? You really need to deal with that attitude. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Amen. Come on, give him a thanks. Let's move on. In verse 5, other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth, but they withered away. This soil is interesting. It's definitely God. There's definitely soil. It's evidently soil, but it's also foul. There's this mixture going on. It's half in, half out. It's maybe addressing the principles of God. It's half committed to that, but no, I'm not sure. There's still some rocks at play. The rocks accumulate if we don't one by one name them, pick them out, deal with them. I remember going through a season and I was challenged in certain areas of my Christian faith. And I remember just bringing it to someone and say, I'm really struggling in this area. I want to get rid of it. I don't know how, but I'm just going to identify what it is. This is the problem. We're going to nail this. And I remember them checking in with me every so often. How are you going with that? Still going with that. Yep, still going with that, but working on it. It's in my mind. I'm conscious of it and I'm surrendered before God to it. So I know God is removing some of these things from my life. Half good soil is not good soil at all, really. Something will spark, but not quite last. The amazing thing about soil is it's not grown, it's tended to. Doesn't matter how long we walk with the Lord, there's always things to tend to. And so, Lord, we want to tend to the areas that just need a little attention. Maybe it's time to go back to the basics. Maybe it's time to rediscover how to read your word again and just get back to some good old soil growing principles. Maybe it's night college or joining a connect group or just getting around people that are going to keep reminding you to stay alive as good soil to God. As rocks accumulate, we can deal with them. Acknowledge that some desires are not a part of your future, and they're going to hinder you from the God growth. There are things that, having known the Lord, I laid down. They weren't necessarily bad things. As you look at that scripture, that full-on scripture we read before, some of the things I was desiring maybe weren't necessarily evil or bad, but I just knew they weren't quite exactly where God wanted me to be right now. It's just leaning into the Holy Spirit saying, lead me, show me. Let's pick up in verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. We, not so long ago, lived next door to this beautiful neighbour, and our two gardens were, you know, quite contrary. She had lived there for about 8 years, and her garden was exquisite. So she had fruits, vegetables, all sorts of roses. She had layers upon layers of landscaping, and she was out there morning and night, and she loved it. She actually was a beautiful lady. We still have cups of tea with her. She's lovely. And then my gardening, I love gardening. I love it as much as I can, but comparison, it was like there was no comparison, because she just really had the knack for growing good things. I remember once being in our backyard, and I had been training this gorgeous greenery, this vine. I'd been training it around my fence, you know, like, oh, it's lush, and it's one of the only things I could grow really well. It seemed to be thriving. And we were down there chatting across the fence as I'm turning the vine through the fence, chatting. She goes, oh, I've noticed you've been, yeah, love what you're doing here. She said, did you know that it's a weed? I was like, no, is it? You've got to know how to discern between the weeds and the plants. You've got to know what's a nuisance and what is going to take you into the future. Sometimes that's not as black and white. We need the gift of discernment. Who comes with the gift of discernment? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your discernment. Some things can sound spiritual, but actually be a trap. Some things can sound religious and right, but actually are hindering you, creeping up. Here's growth and life, and here's what looks like life, but is it? The Holy Spirit needs to discern for you. Whatever is coming up in your life, ask of Him, is this a good thing? Is this decision going to bring life? Is this future, is this going to be great for us in our future? Or should I be tending to that immediately? Or asking a great neighbor? You know, some of you have been following the Lord a long time. Many of you, actually, I imagine. Not everyone is as far along the journey in Jesus as you. You have so much wisdom, so much of life that you have learnt how to lean into God, the promises of God that you have really stood through trial and through testing, and you have great revelation. Can I encourage you? Lead others through that place. Open your home, host a connect group, run a connect group. Do something to allow people to come and grow in your midst. People in every weekend meet Jesus for the first time. Do you remember doing that? A long time ago for some of you, the first time, and here they are in our house, learning, growing in Jesus. Being a voice of wisdom is actually a beautiful gift to the body of Christ. Let's keep moving. It's a few minutes to go. And here we land in the last verse, Matthew 13:8. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. Thanks, Dave. This soil that I want to have prepared waiting for the seed, for the life, for the gifts that God's throwing out my direction every day, I want to be ready to receive, because I know as I receive it well, only life will come. Nothing that I surrender to God is not going to exceed my expectation. The life that He has for me and the ones that I love far exceeds everything I'd hoped for. And as I was in the chapel this morning, I felt that many of us were believing for loved ones that we love, that we have prayed for, to live lives of fruitfulness. It's easy to see when fruit isn't growing, especially from the outside. We should always keep believing that people are going to come back to the vine, Jesus Christ. Never stop praying that people would return to Jesus. Someone probably prayed for you. I know they did my family for many years. And you know, the fruit of the life that you create is actually going to feed people around you. People are going to taste and they're going to see what's on your life, and they will say it's good. I want my life to be that. I don't want to bear rubbish fruit that's sour. I want to bear fruit in my life that makes people hungry for Jesus Christ, that makes them go, I need the nutrients that you have in your life. Where do I find it? So keep coming to church. Keep meeting together in your groups. Keep praying for those of you with friends who have loved ones that aren't here with them this morning. Because if you just continue to rely on Christ, people are going to find themselves in Jesus. and it's going to be beautiful.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.